بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Praise is to God the Almighty, and with greetings to the soul of the Holy Prophet of Islam, Hazrat Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his household and his companions. Oh my Lord, hasten the arrival of your representative on the earth and place us among his companions and give him victory. I would like to offer my warm welcome to the honorable guests, heads of the judiciary, justice ministers, judges, and international jurists, scholars, and other participants from different parts of the world. And we pray and salute the souls of all martyrs, especially the souls of the martyrs of Gaza, who through their resistance caused the defeat of the Zionist regime. We pray for their souls. It is a great honor for us that a large number of the learned people have got together in the third meeting of the prosecutor generals and the judicial officials of Muslim states and other states of the world have got together to address the different aspects of one of the most horrendous events of human community, so that through exchange of views and meeting of minds and the decisions that they are going to make to put an end to impunity and immunity to justice for the criminals who are committing crimes in the world. I would like to say that political, economic, and cultural unity of the Muslim world is one of the main pillars of the foreign policy of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And the Article 16 of the Constitution of the Islamic Republic of Iran presents unsparing support for the deprived nations of the world as one of the pillars of the foreign policy of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Distinguished participants, ladies and gentlemen, your very important meeting, which has been supported by jurists, judges, and thinkers, free-minded thinkers from other countries of the world, today is following the issue of crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide in Gaza. It is not an exaggeration to say that the atrocities committed in Gaza and in the occupied Palestine were among the most horrendous and heart-rending cases of international crimes that happened in decades. As you are aware, most of the international crimes of the past decade have faced punitive international reactions. For example, the Allied powers prosecuted and punished perpetrators of war crimes, and UN Security Council also reacted strongly to the crimes committed in the former Yugoslavia and Rwanda. However, the atrocities of the Zionists in the occupied Palestine have always gone ignored and unpunished on the part of the legal and political apparatus of the global arrogant powers. So under the present circumstances, isn't it now the right time for independent jurists and legal experts of the world to sit together and find ways to deal with the perpetrators of such crimes? It is our shared concerns for justice and our common and noble thoughts that have brought us together here. As a matter of fact, the 16 years old injustice and cruelties inherent in the Palestinian issue can never be simply overlooked. Crimes committed by the Zionist regime
مسئله‌ای نیست که بتوان به سادگی از آن گذشت.
crimes committed by the Zionist regime during the past 60 years in the occupied Palestine have not been limited to the recent siege and blockade against Gaza and the recent massacre of the defenseless Gazans. And in the bloody and atrocious record of this regime, numerous cases of violation of the international humanitarian law and other international rules and regulations are visible. So much so that cases like massacre of more than 250 innocent people, with children and women accounting for half of them, in Deir Yassin in the west of the Holy Quds in 1948. Massacre of around 50 civilians in Kafar Qasem village in 1956, only because the local residents had refrained from leaving their houses and resisted the occupation. Massacre of around 3,500 innocent Palestinians in Sabra and Shatila in 1982 in complicity with Falange troops. And also the crimes committed in Kana, south of Lebanon, in 1996. And also aggression against Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq in the wars called as independence wars in 1948, raging the six-day aggressive war and the occupation of the Sinai Desert and the Golan Heights in 1967, invasion against Lebanon in the 1980s in 2006, and the crimes committed against defenseless people in these areas, air raid against the Iraqi nuclear power plant in 1981, invasion on Egypt in 1956 with the support of certain great powers in the Security Council, ignoring the Security Council resolutions 1397, 1402 and 1403 on the establishment of the independent Palestinian state and withdrawal of the Zionist forces from the occupied lands and displacement of millions of Palestinians for decades, all serve just as a part of the brutal acts of this regime. Atrocities of the Zionist regime against legitimate and popular resistance of the Palestinian people are considered as other savage acts of this regime in the occupied territories. Different military operations carried out against innocent and defenseless Palestinians like the Final Solution, Rage of God, Summer Rains, and Operation Cast Lead, and formation of killing squads and terror squads by the Zionist intelligence services Mossad for murdering resistance political leader in Lebanon and Palestine, including martyr Sayed Abbas Mousavi, martyr Fatih Shaqaqi, martyr Emad Mogniev, martyr Shahid Ahmad Yassin, martyr Dr. Rentisi, and tens of other resistance activists. Siege and mass murder of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and ethnic cleansing in other occupied areas are all considered as other crimes committed by the Zionist regime. Possession of a huge nuclear arsenal and non-compliance with the demand of the international community for accession of this regime to the international nuclear disarmament treaties and lack of the possibility for international observers to inspect the Zionist nuclear installations per se constitute a threat to the international peace and security. Following the World War II, the international community founded the United Nations with the crucial responsibility of safeguarding and maintaining the international peace and security. The result of making this world body produce nothing but silence or a negligence towards the widespread violence and massacre of the Palestinian people. I repeat, the result of making this world body produced nothing but silence or negligence towards the widespread violence and massacre of the Palestinian people. Resolutions issued by the UN Security Council and the General Assembly with regard to the establishment of the fake Israeli regime and the indifference towards the will and aspirations of Palestinians as the true owners of Palestine clearly indicate the lack of understanding about the identity and history of the Palestinian people. Regrettably, the world has been witnessing since 1948 till this date increasing immigrations to Palestine of individuals who lack any affinity with this land, culturally, geographically, ethnically, nationally, or historically. A study of the course of events in Palestine from the very beginning up to this date indicates that the current situation in the occupied territories is the sheer product of a far-reaching colonial plan aimed at maintaining control over energy resources and balance of power among the world powers. The world powers dissipated a sense of division among Muslim nations and place Islamic states in a process of constant threat and fruitless negotiations as a tool to prevent them from accomplishing their goals of material and spiritual progress. Today, there is a contradiction and a double standard approach that can be visibly seen in the policies and attitudes of governments supporting the Zionist regime. On the one hand, they claim to be the defender of human rights, democracy, peace, and freedom at the national and international levels, whilst on the other, they resort to various political or security means and use massive intelligence resources to support the Israeli regime that understands only the logic of violence and brutality. A regime that only understands the language of violence and force. And this actually puts before us very important and crucial questions, I mean, for all free-minded people of the world. If the universal human rights are inalienable, and all human beings, regardless of their color, race, religious convictions, are entitled to these universal protections, then why should the Palestinian people be denied of their fundamental rights? If the issue of the right to self-determination was the main factor which prompted Western governments' intervention in different parts of the world, then why shouldn't the Palestinian people support it or allow it to exercise such rights? If the international organizations and fora believe in the commitment of all nations to support and recognize certain rights, such as the right to life, the right to development, or the right to freedom from hunger, why haven't they been touched by the long economic blockade imposed on the Gazans? If the Security Council is the world body obligated to investigate violations of and threats to the international peace and security, how then can this important world body reach a unanimous and binding decision against the Israeli regime for the massive killing of a people in Gaza, where civilians accounted for 80% of the victims? Is the United Nations so incapable of using its enormous resources to make an urgent decision for lifting the blockade or the siege imposed against a small region only with an area of 360 square kilometers. How can it be? How can that come about? How can preemptive strikes beyond the arrangements set forth by UN Charter be justified or considered legitimate on the pretext of disarming or combating terrorism, whilst there is no will to put an end to the siege against the innocent people in Gaza? Unfortunately, this contradiction is deplorably seen in the attitudes of the so-called defenders of human rights and democracy, using human rights as a means to advance their own political ends and political bargaining. And also to obstruct any efforts towards making decisions intended to save the Palestinian people. Their double standard approach has turned to be the root cause of many cases of violence, resort to force and wars and terrorism in the world. What happened in Gaza during the protracted siege and the 22-day war was a testing ground for the international community. However, no one expects the arrogant and imperial-minded powers of the world to support the rights of the oppressed people of Gaza. Gazans voted Hamas in a democratic process to power, endorsed by the international observers. However, Hamas' commitment to resistance and its commitment to the fundamental principles of Islam, as well as interests of the Palestinian people, that was beyond the tolerance of the Zionists and their supporters in the world, and they tried to weaken its cabinet under the various pretexts. The Israeli regime has besieged Gaza for more than 2 years and continued the violation of these people's most basic rights through making this area a large prison, an open prison for its inhabitants. Furthermore, they assassinated Palestinian leaders and repeatedly exercised extrajudicial executions. What happened against the people in Gaza is unprecedented in many areas in history. Occupation, denying people of the right to live, imposition of long siege, military strikes, and targeted killings by resorting to such concepts as legitimate defense is regarded as the most odd phenomenon in the history of mankind. Is that acceptable that an invading force breaks into a house, enslaves its inhabitants, and then massacres or displaces them under the pretext of legitimate defense? On what legal basis or grounds people who fight to liberate their land are recognized as terrorists? Gaza is in fact a testing ground for awakened conscience of the world and those whose hearts are filled with divine grace. The devils, their supporters, and their subjects have no concern about humanity and humanitarian values. They live in dark and ignorance. However, free-minded people of the world have listened and responded to the outcry of innocence of people in Gaza. Worldwide demonstrations and marches and the full media coverage in disclosing the bloodbath and the crimes committed in Gaza have not only undermine the power of the Zionist regime, but they also disclose the true nature of this regime and its international backers. Now we, as individuals devoted to the cause of justice and to the right, take the pride in supporting and defending the people of Gaza. Today, Today we can no longer see the silence of states and governments towards the crimes of the Zionists. Measures taken by different governments in the world for judicial investigations against the crimes committed by the Zionists have made the bells toll for the leaders and atrocities of the criminal Zionist regime, and they can no longer enjoy immunity and impunity. And I am confident that there will come a day when all Zionist criminals will be brought to justice in a competent court established by those who are dedicated to justice and humanitarian values. My dear friends and colleagues, there is no doubt that harmonious cooperation, meeting of minds, and exchange of information and views among judicial authorities of Islamic countries and other responsible governments for the prosecution trial and punishment of these criminals are viewed both as a factor to contain and to deter repetition of such crimes and an important step in the fulfillment of these countries' obligations to promote and maintain the international security. Violation of the Palestinian fundamental rights, massive killing of civilians in Gaza, destruction of people's properties, and denying the population of the right to live and the right to free from all forms of discrimination or torture, the right to leave one's country or to return to it, the right to self-determination, and other fundamental rights cannot be seen solely as an Arab or Islamic issue. Rather, such issues involve the entire humanity. And the Israeli occupation regime's leaders must be held accountable for all their brutalities and the atrocities which have wounded and offended humanitarian sentiments around the world. Each and every sovereign state has the right to adopt legal and humanitarian measures within its geographical boundaries to put an end to this trend of rights, violation, and guarantee its non-repetition by the Zionist regime. I call upon all of you as judicial officials to do everything possible and mobilize all your resources, judicial and legal, for the condemnation of this brutal and occupying regime. Application of the current international law governing war crimes and genocide and informing the world public opinion of the horrific crimes committed by this regime are among the most important goals of your conference. Follow-up to the measures of the special session of Human Rights Council on the crimes committed by the Zionist regime, establishment of a special tribunal by the UN General Assembly, urging the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court to carry out his responsibility for the prosecution of war crimes and genocide in Gaza, and filing lawsuits in the national courts of countries that are signatories to the four Geneva Conventions are regarded as the most effective steps leading to the prevention of the recurrence of such crimes. The head of the judiciary of the Islamic Republic of Iran has taken a very constructive initiative to organize this conference, which, in my opinion, can be viewed as an active judicial diplomacy in the condemnation of international crimes. Its continuity and the realization of its goals and objectives will create a supportive ground for the condemnation of the Zionist regime at the national and international tribunals, as well as the eradication of terrorism and terror at the international level. The Islamic Republic of Iran, in accordance with the rules of the international law and based on its national legislation, has initiated legal investigations and called on Interpol to issue arrest warrants against 25 Zionist war criminals. Interpol is expected to fulfill its legal obligations without any political considerations. The Islamic Republic of Iran also expects independent and particularly Muslim states, in recognition of their crucial responsibilities, to render support to the said measures and adopt similar measures both at national and international levels for the arrest and trial and punishment of these criminals. It is inevitable that solidarity among Muslim states and justice-seeking states of the world will certainly bring to justice the criminals of the occupying regime. And inshallah, God willing, it will clear the path for the reemergence of justice by the Imam of the time, the absolute human being. Once again, I wish to express my sincere thanks and appreciation to His Eminence Ayatollah Shahrudi for his initiative, and to all of you, and I seek your permission to share with you some points about the second Durban conference in Geneva. Okay, you all are aware of the series of anti-racism and anti-racial discrimination conferences. What happened in Geneva had some clear characteristics and aspects. You all know that the Zionists have been very active in two different areas, and they have been influencing the world events and affairs. You all know that Zionism is a political party. You all know that the mask of the Jewish mask is only a false, actually, mask, and the Zionists have lack any religious and any religion, any religiosity. They are not committed to any religion. They are against all divine prophets, and they are against all divine injunctions and divine teachings. Zionism is a very complicated, violent political party which is against divine teachings. It is against humanity, and it is seeking to dominate all world affairs. Actually, they are managing the world affairs in two forms. One form was that covert, actually, management. In fact, they had created, or they had organized some structures in the world which continuously were pursuing the Zionist goals and objectives. And they were preparing the ground for the realization of the wishes and objectives of the Zionists. Actually, they were trying to hide their Zionist mask. They had been supporting the Zionists. For example, the UN Security Council, the legal and the political structures of international organizations. None of them With none of them actually wear the mask of the Zionists, but all of them are supporting the Zionists. It is our belief that the Zionists have been covertly influencing these structures. They have been managing them covertly. The second area of their covert management is their overt management, their open management, the open measures of the Zionist regime. And what you have seen in Geneva, for example, in my view, both these tools of management were defeated, in a humiliating manner in Geneva. Both of them actually were defeated in Geneva. The record of fight against Zionism, you have seen in Durban, one conference, a historic decision was made. The Zionist regime was equated with, racism. This had been reflected in international documents, international instruments, by free-minded experts and people, and by many international organizations. They designed the Geneva conference to neutralize what had happened before. And they wanted to dispose of the term equation of Zionism with racism from the documents of the first Durban One conference. They wanted to do that without the tensions, and then they wanted to present it as a decision of the United Nations, and they tried to impose it on everybody. What they did about the Holocaust in the UN General Assembly. Since a long time ago, they had made preparations for that. And the Zionist supporters were mostly members of the Universal Zionist Party. They also put on an honest face with a demanding tone. Actually, they stayed away from the scene so that let this conference do its work in a calm atmosphere. But when the Islamic Republic of Iran declared that it is going to take part in this conference, they noticed that their plans have fallen flat, and they cannot simply save the Zionism from the world condemnation as racist. You have seen in the recent wars that there were the headlines, the interviews, the comments, the commentaries. They were actually reprimanding themselves why they had left the scene, why actually they have left the scene, why they have not managed affairs in their own favor. I had a meeting with the UN Security Council, UN Secretary General over there. The gentleman was telling me that we had taken part in the preparatory meetings. The term equation of the Zionism with terror, with racism, we had actually eliminated that from our documents. The U.S. Secretary General asked me to tone down my speech so that we can wrap up this matter peacefully. I told them, I'm sorry. I told the Secretary General, I'm sorry. I told him, you are the Secretary General of the United Nations. Are you telling me, do you mean that we shouldn't speak about the Zionist crimes in Gaza? He said, yes, you may speak about those crimes. I told him, shouldn't I speak about the attacks against the neighboring countries? He said, okay, no problem, you may speak about them. I said, shouldn't I speak about the assassination and the terror against the people of Gaza? He said, no, there is no problem, you may speak about that. I told him, shouldn't I speak about the Zionist crimes during the past 60 years? We should say that. And he said, okay, you may say that. I told him that this is what I want to say. This is racism. This means crimes against humanity. If they are not actually reflected in the United Nations, where they, then they should be reflected? They have designed that to present a new definition of racism and to fit it into the minds of the world. And the next day, so that the next day, the Zionist criminals actually come and accuse other nations of the world of racism, and so that they can set up a colonial rule in other countries of the world and to endanger the freedoms and of other countries of the world. And as soon as there are objections by others to these policies, then they will accuse those states of supporting of being racist and supporting racism. This is what has happened to human rights. They have defined the human rights in a way that they are always actually the claimants. They have actually it is they who accuse others. They actually put people in jail. They torture people. They besiege other nations. They use nuclear bombs. They use phosphorus bombs, and they kill people. And then they present themselves as advocates of human rights. This was what they wanted to do in Geneva. They wanted to do the same in the field of racism and anti-racism. Those who have killed hundreds. They have abducted hundreds of thousands of people. They enslaved them. They destroyed them. And even today, they are imposing the heaviest types of racial discrimination on others. Today will become the advocates of human rights and the fighters against racism, and they use it against the free-minded and independent nations of the world. This is what this was the design of the Zionists in Geneva meeting for the first time.
In the Geneva's conference for the first time, in fact, the will and intentions of the freedom-loving peoples prevail over these conspiracies of the, in fact, all these Zionist regimes and its followers and supporters. And the second part is the overt and or open management or the low-level management. So you can see what happened. In the General Assembly of the UN meeting, they give the permission, in fact, that to some people so that to pass from the different control passages and come to the main hall, and then inside the hall, in fact, to make in fact problems with regards to the speech of one of the in fact participants in that hall. So what was the result in fact? First, you saw that there was they defeated in fact. There were some people over there. They chosen some people, very in fact ignorant people, just to come and create, start creating shouting, and then I mean this was the second plan, because the first plan was face defeat, and that's why they started the other conspiracies and plans, so that nobody talks about the Zionist regimes or say anything about these regimes. These are all their plans. So some in fact things happens which I think they are very important and historical. We tell them that since you are not able, in fact, while you are located in the heart of the Europe, to preserve the security of an international conference, then how you can provide and preserve the security of the world? This is a very important question. Of course, you know that the world will face insecurity. It's obvious. And secondly, it's more than 50 years that everybody is hearing by you the slogan of freedom of expression, tolerance. Tolerance and interactions, freedom of expressions, and then you insulted the divine prophets when there was protestations, and then you says no, you should hear what the other says because there is a freedom of expressions even if there is insult of prophets. You started insulting the human values, and when there was a protest, you says that no, you should have a high tolerance, you should.
How did you? How can you not bear to hear the words spoken against you in a conference that you formed, that you designated a time for? You created this conference. How could you not tolerate 20 minutes of a speech that ran counter to what you believe? It became appear that all your slogans of freedom of expression was just the leverage to impose on nations your will. It's a big historical lie. People who cannot bear to hear 10 minutes of a speech can accuse other people of intolerance. Of course, we, in a way, give them a bit of room, because it's very difficult to pick up a mirror and see the truth of liberalism and capitalism and the truth of Zionist crimes reflected in that mirror. It is difficult for them when we pick up a mirror and show them their own true image. It is difficult for them to see even just a small part of the crimes committed by them. But I'd like to say it's only beginning, and it's going to continue. For 50 years, they've grown a habit of walking, of talking one way. For 50 years, they've grown accustomed to speaking on their own and have no ears. But I'd like to tell them that this era has come to an end. Now they have to shut their mouths and open their ears. I don't want to bore you with such talk anymore. I'd like to herald something. For 400 years, the human society, due to the management that rules over them, has been moving toward the abyss. This 400-year history is full of wars and crimes and destruction of the truth and the human truth. In particular, in the last 100 years, we've seen the zenith of crimes against humanity. In two wars alone, more than 100 million people have been killed. At a time, I asked a few historians, I asked them before the 20th century, what were the total number of people dead in the wars throughout the world? The number they mentioned was an awful lot lower than the wars in the 20th century. The maximum they mentioned were 10 million people. These people came with slogans of liberalism, with liberal democracy slogans, human rights, and in a century killed more than 100 million people. All over the world, they fanned the flames of war in a systematic way, took away people's wealth and nations' wealth, and in a systematic way deprived them of their rights. But I'd like to tell you that this black era that has ruled over human history has come to an end. Today, nations have been awakened. Today, justice seeking, friendship, and brotherhood, getting rid of prejudice, aggression, and modern racism is something that the world is asking for. And they cannot go forward with such childish methods, such basic methods. They cannot prevent this huge human wave. I'd like to herald something else. That the bright future for humanity is close at hand. A future in which oppression, imposition, aggression, and murder, invasion, occupation, and crime, and a future in which thoughts of racism and Zionism and aggression will not exist. This future is very close. My dears, use this conference and join hands and have a share, a suitable share, in bringing about a bright future. I thank you all, and I wish you success.
Vice President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, which you were hearing his statements in the second day of the Muslim Prosecutor General's conference that's being held here in the capital, Tehran, of course, a couple of days after his return from the Durban 2 conference, in which an attendance of more than 200 prominent legal experts from 50 countries, the aim of this conference is for the